you want to turn there. And another important lesson as we look at the steps of a good person, you know, and I was just talking to a sister this morning, you know, it says man on there, but it's good stuff for all of us. And I didn't want to be the only one getting picked on. I wanted to share the wealth with all the ladies and everything. And in fact, yesterday we were putting the speakers up and they were cutting the, you know, the tiles, the roofing tiles, making quite a mess. So I said, I'm going to be the lady today and have you guys move that cutting outside. Because, you know, it stuff gets in there and you track it into the new carpet. So they all agreed that you can tell the men were used to listening to their wives. They ran outside and started cutting everything out there. So anyway, but just really appreciate it. I mean, fortunately, God gave us a 50-degree day, so it's actually nicer to do outside anyway. Anyway, so we had a good time. Pastor brought us pizza, and, you know, of course, I had to supply some donuts in the morning for that. And Kathy's not here yet. That's good. Okay. Anyway, so just thanks for everybody and their effort in getting the buildings coming along. Well, and this week we found a great concrete guy. He's going to begin working on Tuesday and pour Wednesday and Thursday. It'll dry Friday. And we'll be using concrete walkways and every ramps and everything will be done and used next Sunday already. So, yeah, praise God. And he's from up north, so he's got a bunch of jobs lined up, but the ground's still frozen, so he was looking for something to do. So it's just fun to see how God works stuff out, you know, and just arranges it so we fit his window, and he'll be in here and do that, and we get to be the benefactor of that. So praise God for that. So, all right. That was all unplanned advertisement there. Now we get to the real stuff. The word today is the text is 2 Timothy 2:15, and then 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So if you're able, if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word, we'll read those and then we'll pray. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again this morning just to be able to come and look a little deeper into your word and what you'd have to for us. Lord, we do just want to learn to take good steps to be a good person. And not just good in the traditional sense, but a good Christian. Lord, that you would help us to just be good examples of your love for us. And Lord, that you have given us your word. Lord, I pray that we would just cement into our hearts today that your word is our authority and that we can stand on it and rely on it. So, Lord, help us as we look at this and go through the lesson to encourage each of us to be into your word more often. And then, Lord, we'd be able to share that word with others. So bless our time together. Help me to get out of the way, Lord, and just that your lesson for us would speak forth to your people. We ask a blessing on that time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. If you want to follow along in your overview there, we'll read it as written, but we'll change it a little bit coming up. It says, the greatest tragedy today in the lives of many Christian men is the neglect of God's holy word. His word is an absolute necessity if we will be godly men, all that God wants us to be as Christian men, as husbands and as fathers. Just as food provides strength and nutrients to your physical body for physical health, so the Word of God provides nourishment to your soul for spiritual health. The neglect of God's Word produces weak, anemic, and carnal Christian man. So, and again, that applies to all of us, men and women, you know, I hope you'll agree with that. You know, we just need to be reinforced and have our spiritual life encouraged and renewed. You know, we talked about reviving daily and being in His Word daily. And so it's just so important that this book gets opened. Amen. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. A little illustration here in the introduction that after a severe bombing in the town of Surrey, England, during World War II, a woman was found standing in the middle of the street, weeping uncontrollably. She cried out, "I've lost it all. I've lost everything. My husband, my children, my home, and all my earthly possessions. Everything." You can imagine that sense of loss back then when they did those carpet bombings and just literally wiped everything out. And so sad. But then she came to some measure of composure and stated as she clutched her Bible to her heart, "I was wrong. I did not lose everything, for I still have my Savior who will care for me, and I still have His precious Word." I thought, wow. You know, it is something that, and even the Word talks about losing it all, but, you know, but gaining the kingdom. And just for her to be able to recognize that in such a time of terrible grief and sorrow, really speaks to us. If you were here Wednesday night, Pastor Farouk did the devotion on comfort, and it was just really good. So, you know, we think of comfort, and I admitted, you know, my thought of comfort, I thought, you know, a nice big blanket sitting in front of a fire, you know. But the true meaning of comfort, as he explained, was of safety and just being protected. And you think about that, and you really are, you know. Like, we're in the United States, you know, and we got the greatest military, and that gives us kind of a sense of comfort, you know, that we're going to be protected. And that's what God does for us. He gives us that true comfort that because we have Him and His protection and His promises, you know, we can get through everything else if we'll let Him help and the Holy Spirit help us get through that stuff. So, anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and I did find another picture for this week. And, you know, just a great picture of the light of His Word. And you notice especially that Bible is open. Amen. You can find pictures of Bibles closed and on the coffee tables and that type of thing. But it's important to open His Word. The most precious and valuable possession we have outside of our blessed Savior Himself is His wonderful Word. But He gave us His Word, you know, so we can better know Him. By God's divine plan and sovereign direction, He has not only given us His inspired Word, He has preserved and protected it down through the corridors of time. Now, you might be familiar with the stories of how they've, you know, several different governments have tried to wipe out the Holy Word of God and burn them and, you know, and they've just never been able to do it. And God's Word promises that it'll last forever. So we understand why. So we'll look at four passages there in your workbook. And this first one really helped me I pretty early after I became a Christian. So, you know, I guess it was 40-some years ago. And I read this verse, and light bulbs kind of went off in my mind for it. Let's read it. 2 Peter 1:20-21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know, and I just thought that was so good that, you know, we can debate what the Scripture means. You know, some things are a little more difficult, maybe hard to understand, and we can talk about that. But in the end, there's going to be one meaning. We might not know what it is till we get to heaven, but I just thought, wow, that just, for some reason, that really spoke to me. Because, you know, when you're first saved and you're reading and people saying different things, and sometimes it's hard to know. And sometimes I might still not know. But what I do know is God's Word is true and faithful, and it's going to be neat to know maybe what that really meant, you know. And I firmly believe several scriptures have like three meanings, one for the day, one for the current, and one for the future. And Scripture is unique in that it can do that with certain passages, and they can fit all those scenarios, but it's still the right meaning in each one. Whether we agree with it or understand it or not, I just thought, you know, God knows what he's doing. And it's kind of exciting to know that that's going to all be revealed. And we're going, oh, you know. And especially the guys that try to predict the future and the end of the world and all that stuff, you know, it's pretty specific that, you know, we don't need any more of that. It's all in here already. And, you know, they might guess right. You know, most of the ones we know about so far haven't. We've talked about that before. You know, when they pick a date, you know, it's a good way to get yourself embarrassed, you know. And it doesn't mean it's not going to come true. And the closer we get, so things start making more sense and give us more understanding. But, you know, still, it's not one of those things that you want to move up to the mountaintop on because you think it says something. And when it does happen, then we're going to say, ah. But it's afterwards because it's all been predicted and told what's going to happen in prophecy. And, you know, it came not by the will of man. It wasn't man making up what he thought it said. It's what the Word of God has in his wisdom given us to know. So to remember that. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 17. Again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. In other words, there was two gentlemen that preached and talked a little bit about in Scripture that, they kind of subscribed to believing in Jesus, but then they started preaching that they started denying that the resurrection was really going to happen, the resurrection of our own spirit and soul and everything. And so Paul's called them out, say, you know, they're in error. You know, so we know some of those doctrines are false because he basically accusing them of being like a canker and spreading false doctrine. And so we're in trouble for that. Then Matthew 5:18 in your workbook. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one little tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Again, he's going to do it all. And a jot or tittle, that's like the dot of an I. You know, and that's the tittle, I think, you know, or a jot, a comma. None of that is going to be, you know, there's just nothing wrong. And, you know, had occasion to be in Israel, and we saw some of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And when you learn about how meticulously they were copied, you know, word for word, jot for jot, tittle for tittle. And if they made a mistake, they burned them. You know, it's just incredible to how much painstaking effort went into preserving the delivered word of God, even back in those days. So it's very important. And then finally, Psalm 119:160 there in your book. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. It has been Satan's ongoing plan since the beginning of time to destroy, discredit, or dilute God's word. Satan began way back in the Garden of Eden, as we've seen before, when he conversed with Eve after she stated in Genesis 3, it's not in your book, but 3, 2, and 3, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. But Satan immediately responded to her, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So again, Satan takes a little bit of truth and twists it to our detriment. You know, if we listen to him and what the world will say, or just maybe consider this, you know. And again, that's not what Scripture meant. But, you know, we can be easily distracted and turned from what God is trying to tell us and do with us. Make no mistake about it, at this very moment, here today, Satan continues to do everything within his power to attack God's word. You know, and we see that more and more evident all the time as well, including he works to discredit its authority in the Christian's mind. You know, it was real popular in Christian circles years ago, and I'm sure some today, you know, that to try to say evolution can still fit in the Bible, rather than, you know, trying to just put enough doubt on the truth of creation and how long ago it happened. And, you know, we try to conform that into our Christian faith instead of just believing the Word of God, which as more and more evidence comes out, it gets more and more proved. That's why I love Josh's Genesis series. You know, just going, wow, you know, the proof is there. It's all Satan's work that makes us doubt it. So, again, the greatest tragedy today in the lives of many Christians is the neglect of God's holy word. His word is an absolute necessity if we will be godly people, all that God wants us to be as Christians. Just as food provides strength and nutrients to your physical body for physical health, so the word of God provides nourishment to your soul for spiritual health. The neglect of God's word produces a weak, anemic, and carnal Christian. You know, we can be weak if we neglect his word. So think for a moment about the study of God's word. It says in John 14:15, there in your book, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you think, okay, well, you know, the one guy, the rich young person, you know, he got 9 of the 10, you know. And but when you think about commandments, you know, there's actually, I sat and counted them this morning, 1,050 commands in the Bible. And I did not really sit and count all those. Fortunately, Google did that for me. But there are 1,050 commands in the Bible and 800 different headings that they would fall under. So it's kind of a big number. Our natural reaction is to say, there's no way anyone could do that. And in some regards, that's correct. Although we cannot keep all his commandments all the time, we can strive to do our best at keeping them. But how are we going to know that if we don't know what they are? And how do we know what they are if we don't read about them? And I got a little treat for you this morning. Nate, are you ready to play the little piece up there? Or Jacob? 46 seconds, so bear with me here. Hopefully. Yeah, I could do it. Not going to work. Nope. Nate's stepping up. Oh, I was really looking.
Yeah, I'm just here and Don. You might have to sing.
I didn't want the video even. That's all right. Anyway, that is Bobby McFerrin. You've heard of it, don't worry, be happy. You know, and he does the little whistle, don't worry, be happy. You know, how's that? You know what the most often command is in the Bible? This song is a little more scriptural than you might think. It is, don't fear. Don't fear, and to be happy, or some combination of the two. That is the most often of all those 1,050 commands, is to don't fear, and basically then be happy. And I thought, well, that was really good. I'm sorry we missed the little ditty. But the only way you can even come close to keeping his commandments is by first knowing them. You know, I'm not speaking of only knowing the 10 commandments listed in Exodus 20, but also knowing the other commandments listed throughout the Word of God. The way to find all of God's commandments is by reading His Word. You can't expect to learn of every commandment just by going to church every week. You know, so me doing the math, you know, 1,050 commands, if we got one command a week from our pastor, that's 20 years. You'd have to come to church to hear each command, you know, and if you cut it, even if he gives us 4 commands or 4 or 5 a week, you're doing, it's down to 4 years. And I can't remember 4 weeks ago, let alone 4 years ago. So there's just no way we're going to absorb it from just being here. We get great teaching, don't get me wrong. And, you know, and we're told what to do. And, you know, I get convicted every week. But the Word of God, you know, that's where to get the real meat of that. God expects us to do our part by getting into the Bible and studying for ourselves. Gather some basic tools to aid you in your study of God's Word. Have a copy of the Bible, a good concordance, and a Bible dictionary. Many of these study helps are available in the form of computer software. In fact, that's how I learned more about Timaeus and Philetus and some of these definitions. I want to make sure, I get it right. So I get on the Bible software. There's a Bible Gateway is one I use a lot. Blue Letter Bible. I used to use that a lot. Just great material, just all in one place. And there's another called the Bible Study Tools. So anyway, there's things out there, and in the old days, you used to have the big concordance, and then a Bible dictionary, and you have your desk covered. And I think Josh still uses a lot of those things in the commentaries. But, if you're like me, it's a little easier just to bring it up on the screen and do that. But there's great tools out there, and they have been for a long time. Next to prayer, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, the most difficult things for a Christian to discipline themselves to do is to faithfully read and study their Bible. We call ourselves Christians, and we say we love the Lord Jesus, but do our actions say that we love Him? Do we act on what we say? Do we schedule time to study His Word? This is one of the most important things a godly Christian will do on a daily basis. When we don't read and study God's Word faithfully, it's much more difficult to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the Holy Spirit last week. And again, it's hard to do if we're not in His Word and getting reminded of that daily. When we spend time in the Bible on a daily basis, God often gives us just what we need to battle the temptations for that day and to live victoriously. To give a wise response when someone asks us questions about the Bible, we must study it regularly. And I a lot of times people know I'm a CPA, they'll ask me tax questions, amen? And, I spent 40 years in doing the tax laws and changing, and so I can comment on a lot, but I don't remember them all the time. But I can know where to find them, the answer pretty quickly. If I don't, it's more impressive if I can just do it off the top of my head. And the same way with kind of Scripture. If we're studied up and we know the Scripture, we can give it to them. Might have to look up the reference. But again, just to be able to speak with authority on what the Word tells us. And 1 Peter 3:15 in your book. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We don't have to, be Paul. I can tell you the answer. It's more just, what works for me is the Word of God, and He saved me, and that's why I have the hope. I don't hope who gets reelected or who gets defeated in the election. I care, but my hope isn't in that. My hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, being kind of a year-end or a apocalypse-type guy, I almost root for the other side because I think it's going to bring in the kingdom quicker, Not that I'd vote that way, but it's not going to upset me, I guess. You know what I mean? Because why get upset over something that I can't, I can vote, but I can't control it. God can. And I just have total faith and trust in Him that He's going to. So, and the sooner the better as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, we should not be put to shame when someone starts to argue against what God says. We should know the answers and are able to give proper response from the Word of God. If we are unable to give a response right away, we should study to find a proper answer. Being ready always to give an answer will only come through personal study. We can spend years in church services and Sunday school classes, but we will learn more of the Bible through personal study than any other context. That's how we really get it inside. A brother just shared with me last week how he was able, just through his daily devotion, able to share with somebody the word that he had read and how he applied it to their situation and everything. And, didn't give me any details, but it was just nice to know that because he had been reading daily, it's amazing how often what you read that day, you apply that day, when you're ready to do that. And so that was really exciting. Psalm 119, 103 says, "How sweet are thy words, excuse me, unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." That's what the Word of God should be like. If God's Word was sweeter than honey to us, we would enjoy it every day. Honey in biblical times was probably the equivalent of today's sugar. It was used to sweeten everything. The word picture here is teaching us that we should enjoy God's Word so much that we have it every day. We should literally be sweet to our spiritual taste. Put a little bit of God's Word in your coffee and on your cereal, you know, and read it while you're enjoying it. And it's just like honey. Some people, including me, see, you just can't go without their coffee or chocolate every day. You know, and maybe it's Coke, or maybe it's even a cigarette, you know. But when you ask them about their Bible reading, you find that they can go days without it, and they think they're doing just fine. If you cannot live without something as earthly for one day as chocolate and coffee, why would you choose to live without food for your soul for just one day? You know, you start thinking when you compare that, you know, our carnal lives with our spiritual life, it kind of hits home a little more. But wow, you know, I wouldn't miss my little parcel of chocolate after, you know, dinner, but, you know, do I get in God's Word after dinner? Yeah, not every day, I have to admit. You know, but I do get in the morning. So, as you read through Psalm 119, you can see how much the psalmist loved the Word of God. If you're familiar with Psalm 119, it has the most verses of any chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Every verse refers to His Word, you know, whether in His commands or the written Word. 176 verses specifically on that. Pretty incredible. Reading God's Word every day should be one of our highest priorities. So let's suggest four simple thoughts to give you direction regarding this matter of spending time in God's Word. Roman numeral 1, admit it as the Word of God. We have to admit it. We have to know in our heart that it is the Word of God. Make sure you approach the Scripture as God's inerrant, preserved Word. Make His Word the final authority for all your life and family. If the Almighty Creator of everything wrote it, shouldn't we be a little bit interested in it? Wouldn't you want to know what the Creator of the universe has to say? And He's given us that. You know, we might have favorite authors. You know, I've got several authors, or we kind of get caught up sometimes in reading those trilogies that come out. You know, maybe it's, you know, back in the when I first started books in college, Ian Fleming and all the James Bond books. Couldn't wait for the next one. You know, nowadays it might be John Grisham, you know, or Stephen King, if you're into that kind of stuff. But we anxiously await that, or his next book, or, you know, and something like that. But, you know, how much more if the author is the Lord God, you know, that we should be excited about that. Matthew 24:35 there in your book. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Wow. You're here with us forever. Then ask God, the Holy Spirit, to lead and teach you as you open your Bible. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. John 16:13 in your book there. Albeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, and He shall speak, and He will show you the things to come. Wow. But we need to read about it and listen about it. When you engage in the divine activity of reading God's Word, you can have great confidence that He is working in your life, whether you sense it or not. Sometimes we get it by some osmosis almost, you know, and then maybe later go, oh, I just read about that this morning, you know. And that's okay to feel good about that. And we should feel good that we do that. Then, number 2, commit it to your heart and life. Commit the Word to your heart and life. It's not in your book, but 2 Timothy 2:15 again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I appreciate that so much about our pastor, you know, and you can just tell, can't you, sometimes that he's dividing it correctly. You go, oh, I never saw that before, and that's always kind of exciting to me. You go, oh, but look at that. He's dividing the word of truth to us in the proper way and with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Not only are you to read the Bible daily through a planned method, but you are to study the Bible. The word study denotes the act of being diligent in applying yourself to know His Word. As mentioned, several good basic tools can help you dig into the unsearchable riches of the Scripture. I can't tell you, okay, you read something, I go, I'm not sure what that, and then you look it up in one of these tools, you go, oh, well, that's cool. You know, now I understand. And the Holy Spirit helps do that. You know, just going, okay. That kind of enlightened, if you will, something that might be a little tricky to understand. And sometimes you read stuff and go, well, that guy's off base. You know, I better call the pastor and see what this really means. You know, and that's okay. But because the truth is in there. Just as a diamond hunter will search and dig for rich treasure, so we must diligently apply ourselves. Do we have any lapidarists in the crowd today? Anybody even know what that is? I had to. It's a person. It's a rock hound. People that polish and Lee Wilcox. If you remember Lee or got to know him, we just lost him last year, unfortunately. But he was a lapidarist. He'd polish up the rocks and look for them, and just beautiful work. And he would go relentlessly looking and digging for specific kinds of rocks. He had then take him into a shop where he would labor and spend time cutting, chiseling, and polishing those precious stones. Well, like those precious stones, the Scriptures are full of great and precious truths that we must be sought after and carefully studied and study out through the Holy Spirit-led time and prayerful consideration. Spend some time looking for those nuggets, the little gold nuggets that God has for us. I challenge you to commit to the careful study and application of God's Word. Do as the Bereans in Acts say, there in your book, Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, they were double-checking it with Scripture. Okay? He says something you kind of wonder about, you know, like those in Thessalonica, you know, let's look at it a little closer and make sure that's what the Word says. It's better to do as God says rather than any man says, whether it's our pastor or elder or whoever it might be. In your book, Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wow. Wondrous things out of His law. God's Word will delight, inform, and change you as you read and study it. That's how we change our lives. Because study implies more. You're digging into it and you make changes. You know, you study how to build a house so you can build a house. Amen? You don't study it just so you know. You know, I can tell you how to build a house. I've never done it. You know, it's kind of like, I'm not too sure I want them to show me how to build a house. You know, they might have the head knowledge, but we need to practice it. People like people that practice it more. Amen? They go, okay, I have some experience with that. So then, Roman numeral 3 is we submit to it in simple obedience. Submit to the Word in simple obedience. Let God's Word do a work of transformation in your life as you practice the truths that you read. Psalm 119:9 in your workbook. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Wow. How does a young man clean himself up? Does it by what the word tells him to do. Works for us old guys too. We are not to merely read God's word and then forget what it says. We are to pay attention and live out what we have read. Apart from staying in the Word of God, there's no way to truly live out the Christian life. His words are essential to spiritual growth. Reading and meditating upon His Word is vital to growing and living lives that glorify God. How do we know how to glorify Him if we hadn't read about it? If we didn't get it into our heart and our desire to do that, you know? And we could say, yeah, I want to glorify God and I hope my life exemplifies. Well, but what's the examples from the Bible? And gee, I don't know, I haven't read that for a while. You know, that's not the type of response we want to give. God's Word said this, so I do this. Going, wow, okay. James 1:23-25 there in your book. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Wow. And I just thought, you know, kind of a bad example, so, you know, you might get a little squeamish here, but, you know, in college, whatever, you get ready for your date, you know, and you're all excited, and you look in the mirror, and you're, uh-oh, what's this growing right in the middle of my forehead, you know, the old third eye that's showing up, and, you know, but then you get interrupted, and you forget, right? You go pick up your date, and you forget all about it until you open the door, and she goes, ew, go, uh-oh. You know, we forgot to take care of something. And I got to share this, you know, my wife, the veterinarian, farm girl, right? She grew up on a farm, loved, what are they called, werbels? You know, on the cow skin, and she'd pop them because they'd jump out. She loved that stuff, right? So in my household, it's actually kind of a gift of love that I leave my abscesses and whatever for her to go pop, because she just loves that stuff. So if you see something ugly on me, just know I'm saving it for Kathy to take care of. but you know, we all want to take care of that stuff, right? We, you know, we don't want to forget about it after we see it, if our hair is out of place or whatever. So this passage teaches us to read God's word and then to apply it to our daily lives, to practice and obey what he has said. Our lives will not change until we allow the Word of God to penetrate into our hearts. Only then will change be real and supernatural from within. You know, we change our heart, let it grow out into our actions. Simply put, before you close God's Word, ask the Lord to show you some simple ways that you can apply what you've read. Perhaps you could set some small goal or make an action list for that day based upon God's truth. It is by this practical obedience to God's word that you grow and are blessed. It's also by simple obedience that you are cleansed and kept clean. You know, just by reading God's word just helps us do that. And that's why it's good to start the morning with it. Just kind of avoid all the evil stuff that starts happening as soon as you turn on the news, amen, or open up your computer. And it's just, you know, if you prepare your heart first, you go, okay, I don't need any of that garbage right now. And just to do that, in your book, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He washes us clean with the holy water by the word. And then Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have God's word in here and in our mind. It helps us not to sin. Unfortunately, we still do. We fail. But, you know, we just need to get back into it and do what we can. A clean and blessed life comes about by simple obedience in response to God's word. Every time God's word shows you some sin, wrong attitude, or act of rebellion, confess it, forsake it, and choose to obey the truth. It is a choice. I wish we could just read it and go do it. Amen. But he gives us the option. Okay, you can listen to me. Are you going to listen to the world or somebody else? We need to choose to obey. Then finally, verse 4, or Roman numeral 4, transmit it to a lost world. Okay, we got ourselves cleaned up. Now let's go clean up the world. Amen? Transmit it to a lost world. The word of God is pictured like a fire and a hammer in Jeremiah. There in your book, 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Wow, that's a good picture. You know, hit with a Bible and break. I could have used it on a piece of cement yesterday. That would have been good. By the power of the word, the hardest heart can be broken as we faithfully present the gospel. The greatest tool in soul winning and the only tool that can save a soul is God's word. You know, what a wonderful act that only the word of God can do. Somebody to get saved, you know, forever. I mean, that's eternity, folks. I mean, you know, that's making a difference in their life. You know, if we can share that and they get saved and accept his word, wow. You know, that's just great. Then we have fire, hammer, and a sword. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. You know, we can fool some of the people some of the time. You know, maybe all the people all the time, whatever, you know, that P.T. Barnum said something like that. But we can't fool God, and we can't fool ourselves. We might think we're fooling ourselves or try to convince ourselves, but we're in his word, he's going to kind of show us. We might not like what we see, but he's going to reveal it to us, and then we can act on it. That's okay. You know, say, oh, I don't like that. It makes me feel bad. Thank you, God, for showing that to me, because now I can try to change. You know, it's just an attitude adjustment that we need. You know, God's word's the same. He's going to do it, or his word's going to tell us. We need to respond correctly to it and let it change us. When we share God's word and the power of his spirit, God can use us to make a great impact. Be compassionately bold in presenting the gospel as you give out the scriptures. You know, and a lot of times we, like mentally, I think we tend to leave out the compassionate thing. And what is really the most compassionate thing we can do for a lost person? Get them saved. You know, we might, you know, I don't want to come across as legal or, you know, or being, you know, challenging them or questioning them. But it's really the most compassionate thing we can do is try to get them to accept God's word. And that humble heart comes out. You know, especially if you're on the doorstep or at the office or neighbor across the hedge or fence, and they're going to know if you're doing it out of concern. You know, boy, you're a great neighbor. I sure hope you're a neighbor in heaven. You know, and mean that, because they'll know that, and they'll know that you're being compassionate. Romans 10:17 in your book. So then faith cometh by hearing. They have to hear what we're saying. And hearing by the word of God. They don't want to hear what Don Tucker has to say, you know. Don should be quoting scripture and giving him the scripture. Because what can they say to that? God's word says that? Yeah, let me show you. You know, you don't have to listen to me, and you shouldn't listen to me, but you should listen to the word of God. And just bring it back to that. So, in conclusion, will you make God's word a daily priority in your life? Will you read it, study it, memorize it, and obey it, and share it with others? The steps of a good Christian always leads to God's word. Our steps will take us there and other people hopefully with us there. So, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. What a wonderful, blessed, and amazing gift you've given us. Lord, to give us your very word, the Holy Spirit inspired and inerrant word of God that we have to study and to read and to meditate upon ourselves, and then also the great privilege of sharing that with others and telling others, Lord, we don't need to be the convincer. You are the convincer. We just need to open it and open it unto others so that they might be changed. Lord, I pray that you would help us change our lives to be more faithful in reading your word and gleaning the great gold nuggets you have for us in there. And even just the common things that help us live day to day as we see a evil and perishing world really crumbling around us, that we can stand tall and not fear and be happy with true joy, Lord, that only you can give us and that your word gives us. Thank you so much, God, for doing that for us. We give you all the honor and glory and praise as we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be dismissed.